So I want to just do a little review of Thursday and then advance the discussion. My guess is we're going to spill over a little bit into tomorrow, and then probably after that we'll get into Inyone Pesach. Okay, that's, I think, the plan. Okay, so we are learning the sugya of Pchas Nevela. And the Gemara on Daf Yud Amid Beis learns, how do we know Habayla Metaplim B'Nevela, Minohani Mili? And we have three sources. Source number one is Maka Nefesh Behema Yashlimena, Yeshalmena, Atkri Yeshalmena, Yashlimena. And Rav Kahana says in Tarov Tarap by Shomer Sochar. And Chizkia learns Vahameis Yellow. And the Gemara has a Tzrichusa. We need all three cases. If he just had Maka Behema Yeshalmena, that's a case of Lo Shchiach, Aval Trefa De Shchiach Emalo, Tzrich of Yashmin Trefa, that's a Hezik De Memela, because you're only a Shomer, Aval Maka Behema Yadayim Emalo, Yashmina Hanitarti, Lo Shchicha Memela, Meis Yelo, De Shchicha Ube Yadayim Emalo. And if you just had Hameis Yelo, that is Mamana Mazik, not Gufo, and therefore you need everything. Okay, so we have three Psukim, and the Gemara cites a Tzrichusa. So I just want to go over, again, a couple of points from last time, and then I want to advance the discussion. So point number one I just wanted to make is the Rashi, which again I think is I want to re-emphasize. So Rashi writes, Dibur Hamaskil, Benizko Lo Katani. So if it wasn't for the Pasuk, if you didn't have the Pasuk, these Gzeres HaKosevs, what would be the din? Would we have a din? We wouldn't have a din of HaBailim Metaplim B'Nevela. So what would be the din? The din would be to have a Mashma Shishalim Shur Gomor Chai, the Hu Yitol Asa Nevela. But for the Pasuk, the Mazik would get the Nevela. And what would the Mazik have to do? He would have to give over a Shur Chai. What did we say is the legal terminology for that? That is called specific performance. What were you, Mazik? You're Mazik a shur. You killed a shur. So bottom line is, there was a shur there. Now there's no shur there. A dead shur is not a shur. So you have to replace the shur. If you're replacing the shur, then who gets the nevela? The Mazik gets the nevela. Comes along the Chiddush of the Gemara, and the Gemara says, no, we have Psukim now. And the Psukim teach us that the nevela stays by Nizak. And the Mazik doesn't have to pay back a Shur Chai. He can even pay back Kesed. He can pay back money, he can pay a Shavu Kesed, whatever he wants. And the Nevela stays by the Nizak. That's the Gzeres HaKosev. Now that Gzeres HaKosev could yield one of two possibilities. One possibility is that really he didn't destroy the Shur. He didn't destroy the Shur. Yes, he killed the Shur. And the killing of the shor creates a diminution to the net worth of the nizak. And now we have to go ahead and compensate for that diminution of net worth. So what was this diminution of net worth? 150. Because before he had a net worth of plus 200, now he has a net worth of plus 50. So now you have to go ahead and pay back 150. And that is the nature of the tashlumin. It is compensation for a diminution of his net worth. The alternative possibility is, no, the Havarina still stands. And that is that you did damage of 200. And now you have to replace damage of 200. But how exactly do you do replace that damage of 200? So the Torah gave the Mazik what I'm going to describe as a kula. He doesn't have to come out of his own pocket with $200. What can he do? He can go ahead and use the nevela as partial payment and now only pay 150. And that is the alternative shot. And I'm putting that chakira, this is chakira of the Afikayam. We're going to call that chakira, one side of the chakira, the first side, we're going to call it the 150 side. Really, the damage is for 150. And that's what you have to compensate for, because you never damaged his entirety. You damaged him in the net worth level. That would be sure be compensatory. This side, you could argue, is still restorative via money or compensatory. I don't think you have to take a stand on that. But the chiv is really 200, and the vela becomes part of the chiv. Yeah?
I know that these numbers are just like examples, but concept, actually evaluating an ox, how's that done? Because yeah, the ox itself, like the meat, might be worth something, but if it's a labor ox that works the field, it would be a lot. It would be worth a ton more.
Yeah, for sure, it's
so
true.
How can they actually?
They can value it. That's sukkis. There's a sukkis in the beginning of Perek HaMeniach, I think it is. Not HaMeniach. HaMeniach. Not a miniach. When a shorla radia versus a shorla achila, how many? No. Okay. Either way, yes, you value it. There's if you're in the cattle business, for sure you can value. Okay. Please stop. I know, but you need to. I'm gonna have a talk with your friend over there about certain things. Okay.
Oh, he said that.
Oh my god.
Herbie. New Grammin.
Okay.
Okay, Viking shot.
What?
Cher
was on the news.
What? I don't know.
No. Oh, he was on the
Okay, can I go by there? Let me go by there. Okay, Rav Osai, stay with me. So, we saw Kasha last week in the Maharam. The Maharam asked the Kasha. Because the next line of the Gemara, which is a very, Rav Kahana comes along and says, Amale Rav Kahana l'Rav. Elatayma because of one of Amesi Elo, Holav Hochi Hava Minun Devela de Mazik Havya, Hasha I Isla, did they come and shave the Ohad Lay down Amar, Yosha Ramashava Kazak Filu Subin, Dide Meboile, so Lotzicha Ela Pchas Nevela, etc. So Rav Kahana asked the Kasha on the Manda Omar who says Amesi Elo, on Chizkiah. And he's saying, why, according to you, Chizkiah, Hamesi Elo, can you go ahead and pay with what? With the You're telling me there's a chiddush. You can go ahead. The Xeris HaKos and teach me you can pay with the Nevela. Why is that a chiddush that you can pay with the Nevela? After all, this is old news. We know if Xeris HaKos of Yoshiv, Larabos, Shava Kesav, I can go into my backyard and pull out a bunch of trefas, a bunch of Nevelas and give those over. So why can't I give over the Nevela itself? The Nevela itself? Of course I can. Why do I need Xeris HaKos of for? So the Maharam was bothered. Why is Rav Kahana asking this kasha specifically on Chizkiah? And the mandarim says Amesi Elo, that kasha would be very, very equally appropriate to the other two mandarim as well, even according to him, Rav Kahana. And therefore comes along the Maharam with a very dachuk approach, and he says, must be that these are two different Rav Kahanas. There are, in Shas, multiple Rav Kahanas. Rav Kahana was a pretty common name, Kayin was a common name, and this Rav Kahana who's asking this kasha was before the other Rav Kahana, and that's why it's not asking on that. That's the answer that's given by the Maharam. However, one perhaps can argue a better teretz, perhaps a stronger teretz. That is, when you take a look at these three Xeris HaKosos. So maybe these Xeris HaKosos are also taking a stand on this Chakim. Because the first Xeris HaKosos, Make Adam Yeshal Mena, don't read Yeshal Mena, but read Yashli Mena, which means mashma she yishalem hamosar. That Rashi says you have to do what? You have to pay the excess. You only have to pay the excess. So lichora, that xeris hakos yashimenu is no. You did only a damage of how much? You didn't do damage of the total 200. You did damage of 150. He still has 50. Yashimenu would be a xeris hakos that would seem to work well with the first side of the chakir. What's the second Xeris HaKosuv? The second Xeris HaKosuv is Tarov Toraf, and how much does the Shomer Sachar have to pay? He doesn't have to pay for the Trefa. The Trefa is still there. You have to pay in excess of the Trefa. You don't have to pay for the Nevela. You have to pay in excess of the Nevela. In other words, this Drasha of Tarov Toraf, Rav Kahana's Drasha, also is saying that you only have to pay beyond what is the trefa. The trefa is already by him. You don't have to pay for that. You have to pay in excess. The third, Xeris HaKosuv, the Hamesi Elo, so that might take us to this side. In other words, what is Hamesi Elo? Who is it referring to? And the Gemara has this discussion. But is it that the mace belongs to the Mazik, or does the mace belong to the Nizak? And the mechanics of the drasha And we'll see that in the Ramban in a moment. But the mechanics of the drasha is really v'amesi alo, the mace belongs to, really, the mazik. And now the mazik has to take that mace, and he has a right to go ahead and deposit it to the nizak. He has a right to go ahead and give it to the nizak. So that would suggest v'amesi alo would be in this category. Once it's in this category, v'amesi alo is, really, you did damage the entire object. You have to pay back a full shor, but, and you get to keep the nevela, but now the nevela becomes part of that payment. So now Rav Kahana asks the kasha. If you tell me the nevela is part of a payment because of exeris hakosuv, why don't you exeris hakosuv for that? After all, yoshiv l'rabo shove kesef kekesef. I can go ahead and pay the behema. I can pay any animal I want. Why can't I pay this animal? Why do I need a special exeris hakosuv for that? That kasha then becomes squarely on Chizkiyah, not on the other two mamrim, and therefore it could be that Rav Kahana is very much in line. And if you take a look, let's take a look at the Ramban, because the Ramban ala Torah might seem to have both of these positions embedded in the Ramban ala Torah. So Ramban ala Torah writes as follows: on the pasuk amesi alo, amesi alo la nizak, the alav yishalem hamazik ad shiyistalem hanizak nezek shalom. Zelosh and Rashi, kederek Rabbi Oseinu. The imkain roish nefareish shalem yeshalem shor taksa shor im ha mace yellow. In other words, the mace yellow is always by the nizak. And how much does the mazik have to pay? The mazik has to pay to be mashlim, to go ahead and fill in the gap. What's the gap? The gap is 150. On that side, then that's the first side of the chakir. But then it says, and just like it says, you know, im ha-meis yellow became v'yosef ha'yev b'mitzrayim. Was Yosef the only brother Mitzrayim? No. When it says v'yosef ha'yev b'mitzrayim, it means he was also in Mitzrayim. He too was in Mitzrayim. So you're paying the excess. You know, it's telling you about the excess. Then he says the second shot. That's the one I want to focus on. V'itachein lefarish al derech ha-pshat. This is what he says is the simple pshat. V'ha-meis yellow la-mazik. That the mace really belongs to the mazik. Klomar. Shalem yeshalem shor tachas hashor v'ameis yelo lemazik hamishalem b'tashlum ha'elu sheyachnisu lanizak pecheshbon. And now the mazik will take that behema, that nevela, and use it as part of the payment to the what? To the nizak. And therefore, really, how much did he damage? He damaged a total of 200, and now he's paying the nevela as part of the tashlum. That's the second side in the chakir. And that might be what the Ramban is saying. And then we just pointed out also in the last year that maybe another subtle diuk in Rashi is that Rashi was talking about. Rashi dibra mazel lan nizak. So Rashi writes, you pay to lan nizak. Where is it? Finding it. Lan nizak. Sheitlenu bidomin is that you're paying it to him as money, as domin, as a payment for the hezek that you did. In other words, it's part of the broader cheshbon of 200. Okay, that is basically a brief summary of what we did last time, but more structured, more organized, more clear, I hope. Now I want to take it a little vital. So there is a fascinating little machlekes between Tysus and the Ravid on to how to understand this sugya vis-a-vis a Gemara in Perek HaMeniach and Daf Lamed Dalet. So the Tysus says lo nitzra ela pchas nevela. So which means that now the nevela is sitting by the Niza. If the nevela goes down in value before Ha'amada Badin, before you have a judgment, before the mazik is going to pay, who bears the loss of that decrease in value of the nevela? The nizak. The nizak bears the loss. That's what our Gemara says. The nevela is by the nizak. If it goes down in value, that's on him. So he says, the alpha gav de per kameniach amrina kichasha kishas Ha'amada Badin. But the Gemara in Hameniah, Perek Lamed Daf Lamed Dalid, tells us that if the animal, after a hezek, if the animal is kichasha, kichasha means it lessens, it becomes weaker, and therefore loses value, who has to pay for that? The mazik has to pay for that, because we go based on shas hamad badin. If at the time of the hezek it was worth 50, but now it's limping along, it's even worth less, it's only worth 25, the mazik has to pay 125. What's the rationale? So the Gemara says, mishum dekarna detura kibira bay, because the keren of the shore is still, at least metaphorically, embedded in his gut. Since it's still there, what are we basically saying? Is that the hezek is a process. It is not just a momentary event. It has a debilitating effect. That effect endures. And now that it's getting worse, that's also part of the original hezek. So that's on the mazik. So why don't we say the same thing over here? That's basically the kasha. So he says Taisus, hasam mishum delo mesa. That's all true. When do we say that? As long as the animal is alive. However, so the chiluk between the sugyas is over there in Daf Lamed Dal, the animal's alive. And the animal's limping along. Is it reasonable? The way I'm learning Tosis is the following. Is it reasonable for the nizak to not immediately sell the limping animal?
Yes.
It's reasonable to do that. Why? Because it'll get better. And it's in everyone's interest if it gets better. If it gets better, then the mazik pays less. And it's in everyone's interest to wait it out. But what could happen when you wait it out? It could go down in value. And if it goes down in value, why is it going down in value? Because of the original hezek. So that's on the mazik. The mazik has to pay. Masha ain't came. In our sugya, we talk about an animal walking around. No, it's dead. If it's dead, so what's the only direction this animal is going? It's only going down. It's only going to putrefy worse. The meat and the hides or whatever is going to get worse. As a result, it's unreasonable for the nizak to keep it around. The nizak has to sell it right away. And therefore, if he doesn't, it's on him. He bears the loss. Yafeh. A nice, sound chiluk. That's a Tosis loss. The Ravid in the Shita Mikubetzet seems to learn otherwise. And one wonders, why is he learning otherwise? What compels him to go in this alternative direction? So the Ravid writes as follows. Aval ha-Ravid zaltirets tahacha lekla meymar karna detura v'chule deyukra v'zila memela havya aval hasam kevin dechayhu v'lav miyukra v'zulahu alami teikav hamakhu machish chayv darmalei karna detura v'chule. He doesn't accept the chiluk of Tosis that this is purely an issue of mace versus chai. Because indeed, can the dead nevela also appreciate in value? Is it possible?
Yes.
Yeah. What might it cause to? What might it cause it to appreciate in value? Normal market fluctuations. For example, you go ahead and there might be a meat shortage. Ooh, and now there's a fresh new novella. You wait a little bit, that might cause, prices might go up. It has the opportunity to go up, to go down. Is that rising and lowering of its value a function of the hezek?
No.
When it's alive on Dav Lamed Dalet, it's a function of the hezek. Over here, it's not a function of a hezek, it's a function of external factors. That's what the Ravid says. It's a function of things that are happening, memeh. Okay? So it's a different approach than Rashi. Is that clear? Than Tosis. Is that clear?
Yeah.
What's your problem?
I don't see how different they are.
You don't see how different they are?
Yeah.
You mean you don't see that they're different at all?
Right.
Okay, one more time. According to Tosis, what's the chiluk in the sugyas? Dead versus alive. And if it's alive, then it's on the mazik to pay extra if it goes down in value. If it's dead, it's the nizak's fault. It's the nizak's fault, he should have gotten rid of it. According to the Ravid, it's similar, but it's not the same. The Ravid is saying that the chiluk is, if we know that the diminution in value is because of the keren, it is because of the damage, so it's on the mazik. But over here, Why is it going down or changing in value? It's not because of the mazik. What's it because of? Because of markets. Because of markets. If it's because of markets, it's not because of the negligence of the nizak. It's because of markets. So therefore, that's not going to be on the mazik. Now, I want to make one point. One point. It's subtle. It's subtle. It will require you to think this through. And let me share with you how this is going. Both sides. According to the Rebbe, who's going to bear the loss of market fluctuations? The nizak. Now, careful. Why? Why is the nizak bearing the loss?
It's in his rishus.
What did you say? But you're right. But
he could have sold market.
It's out of his control.
The answer why is because of the Gzeres HaKasav. What's putting this into the Rishus of the Nizak? Psukim. In other words, but for Psukim, who would bear this loss? Who would bear... The Mazik would bear that loss. But for the Pasuk, who bears the loss? The Mazik bears the loss. Under what scenario, possibly, could you tell me that the Mazik should be bearing the loss? How much does the Mazik owe? If the mazik owes 200, that's what he owes. Because what did he do? He killed the shor. You kill the shor, you owe 200. What did the Torah give you right to do? What did the Torah give you the right to do?
To wait, pay the veil.
It gave you the right to pay off with the nevela. But now what happened? The nevela's value went down. So who should have to pay the excess? Who should have to pay the excess? The mazik should have to pay the excess. Because how much damage did he do? He did 200 of damage. Now the nevela was worth 50, but now it's only worth what?
25.
And how much does the mazik really owe? He really owes 200. Now he's going to pay. How much is he going to pay? Market fluctuations. It's not the nizak's fault.
But that's a mazik's
it's
fault.
It's not the nizak's fault. Goes up, goes down.
But that's a mazik's fault?
It's not his fault.
So.
It's no one's fault. But how much did the mazik damage? 200. So how much does the mazik have to pay? Nevela plus the difference. What's the nevela plus the difference? Well, the nevela went down in value.
He has to pay the extra value.
Comes the gzeres hakosuv. Comes the pasuk and says, nevertheless, who's going to bear that loss? The nizak bears the loss. That puts the raven in that side of the equation. Tosfos is not learning that way. Tosfos is learning that, you know why the nizak is bearing the loss? Because it's dead. And if it's dead, who's responding? In other words, what Tosfos is saying, Tosfos doesn't like this pshat. Why does Tosfos not like this pshat? Tosfos is focused on, yes, who is bearing responsibility? In the case where the animal's still alive, and now the animal goes down in value, who's bearing responsibility? The mazik's bearing responsibility, because it's an ongoing hezek. But if the animal is dead, and the animal always, according to this Gzeres HaKasav, belong to who? It always belongs to the nizak. So now if the animal were to depreciate in value, who should bear that depreciation? So of course, pasuk the nizak. I don't need a pasuk for that. I don't need a pasuk to teach me that if there's depreciation in value, the nizak should bear that. Because if you're on this side of the equation, that does not demand a pasuk. If you're on this side of the equation, depreciation of value being borne by the nizak demands a pasuk. This side of the equation does not demand a pasuk, so perhaps Tosfos would fall there. Weiter. And now I'm beginning the shiur. This is very fascinating. How many of you have learned in Bikiyas Hameniach? Okay, Gevaldik. There is an interesting calculation system. Okay, not heavy calculation. But if you look at Daf Lamed Daled, the case is as follows. Our case. You have a shore that damages a shore. Good? Gores the shore, kills it, and the nevela is worth 50. You with me? Okay. Now this shore that did the damage is a short time. Okay? As a short time, how much does it pay? Chatzines. The Gemara says, crystal clear, that how much, therefore, does the Nizak get?
125.
Gets 125. Because after all, 200 minus 50, what's the Nezek? The Nezek is what? Is 150. Chatzi Nezek. So he gets 50 plus 75. He gets 125. That's the Gemara, Mishnah, crystal.
Isn't it 100 plus 25? Is that the way to get to it? No.
Comes along the Afikeyam, and the Afikeyam argues this is a raya. This Gemara is a slam dunk raya to this tzad in the Chakira, and this tzad in the Chakira is wrong.
Why?
It is machlokes, but this is the conclusion of the Gemara. This tzad, this ends the discussion. That is the comment of the Afikeya. Why? Because what is the Afik, if I asked you, what is the damage being done? What's the damage? How much was being damaged? 150. What's Chatzi Nazik of 150? 75. He keeps the Nevela, and he gets Chatzi Nezek Mikufo for a total of 125. That's exactly what this Tzad and the Chakir was saying. How much was damaged? 150. So Chatzi Nezek is, according to this Tzad and the Chakir, if you go with Tzad 2 in the Chakir, in this case, 200 versus 200, how much damage was done? 200. What's Chatzi Nezek? 100. How much has been paid? 50. How much must be paid?
150.
No! Chatzi Nezek! One more time. 200, 200. How much was damaged? You killed a shore of 200. So how much you have to pay? Chatzi Nezek is 100. How much did you pay? 50. How much more do you have to pay? 50. And therefore, a total of 100. A total of 100. And indeed, if the case was 200, knocked out 200, and the nevela is worth 0, then how much would he have to pay? He'd have to pay 100. But over here, where the nevela is worth 50, the Gemara does not say that he has to go ahead and pay a total of 200 divided by 2 is 100, and then go ahead and add 50 to the nevela. Gemara doesn't say that. It says the Afikayam must be that the first side of the Chakira is correct.
That's the proof.
That's it. Drop the mic. Game over. That's the end of the piece. We paskin, this is how we paskin. So, that's a kasha I want to leave you with. Because I want you to see the Kilos Yaakov. The Stipler Gaon has a Mahalach. And I'm gonna walk you. I'm gonna take you a step, and then I want to leave you with one other issue, and then we'll finish up tomorrow. Okay, one other issue. Have you seen the next sugya yet? Or no? Where are you up to, Mar Makolos? Have you got? Who's gotten to base? You haven't gotten to base. Okay, so I'm gonna set up the Kilos Yaakov for you, and then we got to do Beis also. We'll do that tomorrow. I'm going to set up the Kilos Yaakov for you. So open up, please, to the Gemara on Daf Tzariches. The Gemara is on Daf Tzariches. Fascinating set of Gemaras. Tzariches Amud Al. A lot of beautiful Gemaras. Okay, we're at the middle of the page. If you see Tosis Vahani Mili, about 5-6 lines down, the Gemara says Va'omar Rabba. Va'omar Rabba. Hashaf Matzbeya Shel Chavero Potter. What did you do? You have a coin that belongs to your friend. Now, what gives the coin its value? The seal. The seal. The face that's on it. So what do? You sand away the face. The image. So now it's the plain piece of metal. So the Gemara says, Your putter. This is a sugi of Grama. Gemara says, Daha my time at all daha lo avad lo miti. Vahani mili demachye bekurnisa vitarshe. Aval shaifa besufina chisre chasre. What in the world does that mean? So look at Rashi. If you just rub it on top, you didn't really do anything, you just like reduced the tzura, but the tzura is still there, then you're potter. But if you did it for real, and chasre umamish, umamish rubbed it out, velo, that's chisre chasam umamishu, velo grama. And if it's not a grama, you're going to be chai. Okay, that's one gemara. Now, looking at one line further, Mesiv Rava. You have an Eved. Your friend has an Eved. And he ko al eno v'sama al azno v'charsho. You knock him in the eye and you blind him. You knock him in the ear and you deaf him. I just made up a new verb. You deaf him. Okay? So in such a case, the Eved goes free. Keneged eno v'eno roeh. Kineged ozno ve'ena shomea, ein eved yotzi ben lecheres. If you knock him near the eye, near the ear, and you block his hearing or his sight, he doesn't go to cheres. Rava latame damarava chersola aviv nerak she efshel charisha blo chabura de tipsa de dama nuflesle beunya. What we're talking about, what this sukkah is talking about, and this is where I'm just going to drop this line on you, and then we're going to stop. What this sukkah is talking about is, what does it take to cause your eved to go free? You have to damage, take out an eye, knock out his hearing. Let's say you do something that is, you draw blood, but you didn't knock out his eye. But you drew blood. Will you be chayiv for that?
No.
You didn't do a full damage. You didn't pull out the entire eye. You did a partial damage. How do we treat partial damages? Is that considered full damage? Or is it considered, no, partial damage, and partial damage is not real damage. So the Kilos Yaakov is going to bring these sugyas together. And he's going to tell you a chiddush that partial damage might have a quality of full damage al pidin, and then in the compensation you don't pay fully. And that, he says, is our sugya. How is that our sugya? Because when you kill the shor, but there's still nevela. So what is that? Is that partial damage, full damage? How do we treat that? So we're gonna use the Kilos Yaakov, put these sugyas together, and Be'ezrat Hashem resolve this kasha on the second side of the Chakira with the Kilos Yaakov. So just stuff to dream about, try and put together. We'll finish this up tomorrow, Mirtz Hashem, and that's the agenda.